Good morning. It is good to be back. I've been away for a little while, and I've been back for a little while as well. But last week I was out with the kids, seeing how that's going, which is going good for the most part, which was very encouraging to see. And it was good to just get on the floor and have some fun during church. So we've been going through a series for the past couple of weeks, if you haven't been here. And it's my pleasure to be able to finish off this series we're calling Stepping Out. And this series has been surrounding an important aspect of our faith journey, which is evangelism, or sharing our faith, or stepping out in faith to share our faith. And as we may know, that as followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to spread the good news of salvation to all corners of the earth. In the first week, we had the Bible verse of you'll be to share about God, essentially about those circles of influence going further and further. So Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? And this series, we've discussed two different elements of the idea of evangelism. Does anyone here remember what they were? That's right, pop quiz. No, that's all right. You don't have to. It's okay. So the first one was stepping out to where they are. And we got a decent amount of history involved in that one, which was really good, because we can actually see through all of that, that we as the church have been called out historically and challenged to take the initiative and to go where others are. We are to walk across the room, so to speak, was one of my favourite, probably little snippets in there, and meet people where they are, just like Christ did for us. We were all once far away, and we did not take the initiative. And so that's what we're called to do as well. The second week, so last week, where Glenn Tweedy met us and gave us a message, was stepping out where our heart is. And often we think of mission or evangelism or stepping out for God as a formal ministry opportunity, right? And what I mean by that is something like mainly music or Warren Dyke Gardens or even here on a Sunday morning service. And it can be, and it should be at times, but it can also be, and it should definitely be, much more than just a formal ministry opportunity. It is taking God with us every day and into every situation. Which is something that the kids got to learn about last week, that we take God into whatever situation he puts us in, and we can move in that space to create opportunities to do ministry. And it doesn't have to be in a formal Christian structure. It can also be in and with organizations that demonstrate values that align with God's vision, even if that organization isn't working with God in themselves. Today, we're talking about stepping out a little or a lot, which hints at what we'll discuss, but it might not be super clear yet. But if I could ask you to close your eyes just for one brief moment, and if you could imagine what evangelism looks like as a situation, as a place with people and maybe a building, maybe not a building, whatever that looks like for you. I feel like often as we imagine that situation, we see maybe a building, a large group of people, potentially something more attractive in nature that's bringing people to that spot that maybe don't know Jesus, and one particular skilled preacher who shares to hopefully somehow convince, and you can open your eyes now as well, to somehow convince or convict others of God's good news for their life. Right, and for the few essentially in that situation, it is a very active role. But for the many, it's a fairly passive role. Maybe for the many of us, it would be just to invite someone to that situation. Maybe it's just even to not even invite, but to just show up as support. And it's very passive. But that is what I would say is the a lot part of what we'll talk about. But the little part, the other side that we sometimes perhaps forget about, is a situation in which there may be a very small event, a very small gathering of people, maybe, you know, 10. Or perhaps there's no event at all. In fact, this scenario might have nothing. And it looks quite small, and instead of being a one-off big event, it happens in small ways consistently as we go throughout a day. So instead of event evangelism, it would be everyday evangelism is another way of saying it. But these seemingly ordinary efforts can have an extraordinary impact on the lives of individuals and communities. So that's what we're going to explore today. How do everyday evangelism or event evangelism fulfill our mission as believers of sharing that message to all corners of the earth? And there are pros and cons to both of these types of evangelism. And both can have a scriptural basis, which might surprise you a little bit. You might be feeling like I'm saying we shouldn't do event evangelism at all. And that's not what I'm here to say. Firstly, there are numerous examples of event type evangelism in scripture, in the Bible. Jesus did it himself. In fact, Jesus took the disciples on many mission trips, is what they would often be described to scholars or people studying the Bible. And during those moments, there could be there would be what you might argue is event-type evangelism happening. Big healings, things like that. In fact, in Matthew 5 through to 7, there's actually one such as that. One such mission trip, in fact, led to a sermon on the Mount. And that's found in Matthew 5. And what it says at the start of Matthew 5 is, as the masses gathered, he began to preach. So it's not just definitely wasn't a one-on-one conversation there. It's what we might call it event-type evangelism. We also see it after Jesus ascends back into heaven. On the day of Pentecost, which was what we got to learn about during the Kids Connect, we see Peter share a sermon that helps lead to the salvation of at least 3,000 souls. Again, not one-on-one conversation. So, and it's, of course, through the power of the Holy Spirit in that moment, but there is a validity to event-type evangelism. And it would be hard to argue that there's no value in that type of work. Some of the strengths of this approach is that it has a broad reach. Through large and special campaigns, event evangelism has the potential to reach a significant number of people who might not have been exposed to the gospel otherwise. It can capture public attention and generate curiosity about Christianity. Curiosity is probably one of the big moments, big things that we want to be looking at for this as well. Getting people to ask the why questions who've never asked the why question about God before is a huge step, because curiosity leads to conversation. So it's an important thing. We can also see that event-type evangelism provides impactful experiences at times. It offers unique experiences that can leave a lasting impression on individuals. These experiences, such as dynamic worship, testimony, or skillful preaching, can create an atmosphere conducive to encountering the presence of God. So there are strengths to this approach, but there are also challenges. One of the big challenges for this is that it can have superficial engagement. While event evangelism may attract a crowd, it often provides limited opportunity for deep and personal connections, whether with another person or with God. It can result in a superficial engagement where individuals are swept up in the moment, which is great, but struggle to find lasting transformation with a relationship with God or discipleship as they grow to know God further. It can have the challenge of lacking follow-up and discipleship. Sustaining the impact of event evangelism requires intentional follow-up and discipleship. Without a clear plan to nurture newfound faith, individuals may struggle to integrate into a local church community or grow in their relationship with Christ. Because of these challenges, we know that we need something more. We can't just rely on that event evangelism. And if we look at the life of Christ, we can also see that his methodology of creating and multiplying disciples agrees with this idea of needing something else, simply because he does more than just those mission trips that I mentioned. He often reaches out to people in small groups, one-on-one, whatever it may be, but it is more intimate than a big event often. A very powerful example of this is the story of Zacchaeus, which we got to listen to just before. And it's found in the New Testament of the Bible, specifically in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, 1 to 10. And I'll just give a quick summary as we just heard it. But Zacchaeus was a wealthy tax collector in the city of Jericho, which is quite close to Jerusalem. So a lot of people would have to go by there. A lot of people would have lived there, so that they're essentially kind of like living in, I guess, the suburbs, right? You don't want to necessarily be in the big hub of the city, but quite close by. So a lot of people would be there, and he was able to make himself wealthy. However, the way he did that was through dishonest practice. He was known for this and taking advantage of people. One day Jesus was passing through Jericho, and a large crowd gathered to see him because they wanted to know what this guy was about. Zacchaeus was curious as well about Jesus and wanted to see him. But being a short man, he couldn't see over the crowd, so he climbed up a sycamore tree to get a better view of Jesus as he passed by. When Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and saw him in the tree. Jesus called out to him, saying, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." However, Zacchaeus was surprised and gladly came down from the tree. He welcomed Jesus into his home with joy. The crowd, however, grumbled because Jesus chose to stay with a notorious sinner, or someone who was doing the wrong thing constantly in public view. While they were in Zacchaeus' house, something remarkable happened. Zacchaeus stood up and said to Jesus, "Lord, I'll give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I'll pay them back four times the amount." Jesus was pleased with Zacchaeus' response and declared, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Through this encounter of Jesus and Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus experienced a change of heart and a desire to make amends for his past actions. Jesus recognized his repentance and declared that he had been saved. The story of Zacchaeus and Jesus illustrates the transformative power of encountering Christ and the willingness of Jesus to reach out to those who are considered outcasts or sinners or less than. It also illustrates the transformative power of Jesus doesn't stop with the person it first touches, but it moves through them to their circle of influence, which is a strong part of the idea of everyday evangelism. Another part of everyday evangelism is the authenticity of it. When we think of evangelism, like I said, we might envision large crusades or mega church events, but it is crucial to recognize the value of everyday encounters and relationships. Small acts of evangelism are rooted in authenticity. You don't need to change yourself to do evangelism. Where our faith intertwines with our daily lives, that is where evangelism works best. In our workplaces, neighborhoods, social circles, whatever it may be, we have the opportunity to demonstrate Christ's love consistently, allowing others to witness the transformative power of the gospel. By being genuine and intentional in our interactions, we become living testimonies of God's grace and love. As Jesus said in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and then glorify your Father in heaven." Christ's light shines through us and our authenticity. Secondly, we build lasting relationships through everyday evangelism. Evangelism is not a one-time event. Even if we use a one-time event, it doesn't actually stop there. It is an ongoing process of building relationships and nurturing connections with those around us. Some of the data that's out at the moment says that, and this is actually increasing over time, that to have someone start to believe or start to accept the message of Christ, they will need at least 10 positive interactions with people who genuinely believe and are authentic in that, at least. And that number is going up. So it's an everyday type situation that might not be able to happen through one-off events. When we focus on small and consistent acts of evangelism, we invest in our authentic relationships that have the potential to grow and flourish over time. Through acts of kindness, compassion, and active listening, we create a safe space where individuals can share their joys, sorrows, and questions about life and faith. And it is in those questions that we can do a lot more. These relationships provide fertile ground for seeds of faith to take root and grow. Jesus chose this method to create the movement that led to each and every one of us here today who believes in Jesus to being saved. He had many, many disciples, and it says this throughout all of the New Testament, they had many. But he chose to pay special attention to the 72 that he trained and sent out to share the good news. on top of that, he paid even closer attention to that inner circle of 12 that he put even more intentional relationship time in with. It is the method of Christ to do that. And we might start saying, well, yeah, I guess everyday evangelism might work, but, you know, events kind of work nicely as well. But there's this idea that really draws it home for me of if I was to say we could grow this church by 10 times the amount in 10 years by doing big event evangelism, I'm sure we'll all be pretty happy with that, right? And it could be true. We could put a lot of effort into these big events over these next 10 years or whatever. What if I told you we could get the exact same result by each of you just sharing your faith and helping one person journey through that faith in those 10 years? It's the same thing. It actually ends up being similar numbers or same numbers and sometimes even better numbers, because during that journey, you'll probably teach them how to journey with others too. There is much more power in everyday evangelism than there is in event evangelism. Event evangelism definitely has its place. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because I love that illustration. But everyday evangelism, we get to also meet people where they are, which was one of the topics that we discussed. Not everyone is drawn to big events or open air gatherings or anything like that. But small and consistent evangelism allows us to meet people where they are, both physically and emotionally. By engaging in one-on-one conversations or participating in local community groups that share some of the values that God has, or simply being a compassionate presence, we demonstrate God's love in a personal and meaningful way to others. People are more likely to open up and share their struggles, doubts, hopes in the context of a trusted relationship that can only be built one-on-one and not in an event. Through our consistent presence, we create opportunities for general conversations and the sharing of the gospel in a relevant way to where they are in that moment. And I don't know about you as well, this is another point, but if I asked you to open up about a vulnerability, some spot right now that you'd love to see God move in, I strongly suspect not many of you would be willing to share in a space like this. But if I was to come up to you, maybe in your own home in the week and talk to you one-on-one, you'd be much more likely to share with me what's going on. And then I might be able to share how God's moved in my life in a similar situation. In 1 Corinthians 9:22, it says, "To the weak I became the weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some." It's one of my favorite bits of scripture. Because the idea is that when we share our weakness with other people's weakness, when we share our connection to where they are and how God moves in that space, that's where we win people. That's where God gets to move through us. We're called to share our weakness, boasting in them, in fact, so that the transformative power of Christ shines through. The last strong strength that we'll talk about today of everyday evangelism is multiplying disciples. The essence of evangelism lies not in only reaching souls, but also making disciples. Often we think it's kind of a one-off moment, but it's an ongoing situation. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And there's a moment there, the Great Commission, this moment that teaches us that asks us, calls us, challenges us to teach others to obey everything Jesus has taught us. Teaching doesn't happen in a moment. I'm sure you can ask any teacher. It doesn't happen just as a one-off thing. It is an ongoing relationship. When we focus on small acts of evangelism, we have the capacity to invest deeply in the lives of others, mentoring and discipling them in their faith journey. Just as Jesus invested in the lives of his 12 disciples, we have the privilege to guide and equip others, helping them grow in their understanding and love for Christ. Small and consistent evangelism allows for a more hands-on approach to discipleship, enabling us to invest in a few disciples, few individuals at a time, multiplying the impact of our efforts greatly. We see it again in Acts as well. In Acts 14, it says they preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. So event evangelism, right? Then they returned to Lystra, where Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true in the faith. So they went back home to their individual spaces and continued that relationship on, encouraging and strengthening them to remain true. It is an ongoing effort of strengthening and encouraging, as they then also strengthen and encourage others. So my conclusion, and we'll get to our challenge that I like to present, is that I want you to remember that the power of evangelism doesn't solely rest in grand events and mass gatherings. It doesn't rest with the preacher on that day. It rests with all of us. And those occasions have their place, right? This true strength, though, of evangelism lies in the small but consistent acts of love, compassion, and faithfulness that we exhibit every day. By embracing the authenticity of everyday encounters, building lasting relationships, meeting people where they are, and multiplying discipleships, we can transform lives and communities for the glory of God. So that's what I would like us to do, like us to challenge on, is to find a way to share Christ every day, right? And that's a big ask and a small ask at the exact same time. It's small because it only has to be a small thing every day. It's big because hopefully it will change the way you do in your everyday life. Pray to God all the time, asking for His opening up your eyes to the opportunities. Ask for the courage to follow those opportunities wherever they are. What I hope we've realized in this series is that we're called to be on the lookout for opportunities and actively changing our life to create opportunities of interacting with others. So that's the challenge. And that's going to look different for each and every one of you. What I also wanted to mention and talk about as something that might help you in this is that the best way to show our faith every day is by to know our faith every day. And so that's what we're going to be doing in our next series, is we're going to be looking at ways where we can read the Bible and actually draw things out of it that apply to us in our everyday this week or that week. And so what we're going to be reading on is, so we're going to be doing the SOAP method. I don't know if you've heard about that before. We've done it quite a few times here, which is scripture, observe, apply, and then pray. And so that's what we're going to be encouraging you to do. And we're just going to do one chapter a week of a book. It's Colossians. So we're going to start with Colossians 1. Not that difficult. And we'll get to hear a message on it as well. But what we encourage you to do is read that during this week. We'll also have more details in the Connect. But we want you to read that chapter this week and write your observations. And then bring that to next week. And we'll talk about it together in a more formal setting like this, but we'll also talk about it as we have morning tea and things like that as well. Does that sound good to you? Perfect. All right, let's pray to finish off our today, and we'll have another song of reflection. Dear God, thank you so much that you first stepped out to us. In fact, thank you that you stepped out to us after we stepped away from you. We ask that you encourage us to look at the different ways we can do evangelism, different things that we've learned over the last 3 weeks, and see what that might look like for us today or this week. We ask that you challenge us to think through the idea of, do we believe that everyday evangelism applies to us? Is it something that everyone should do? We ask that you show us opportunities of doing everyday evangelism, of what that might look like in our community, in our circles of people. We ask that you show us opportunities of how we might be able to change our life to meet more people that we can share you with. We ask that you give us the courage to do it, because it is scary, it's hard, it's different. Dear Lord, we ask that your Spirit be with us this week as we challenge ourselves, as we reflect upon your word, and how you impact our lives every day this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.